Welcome to another edition of the Hitman and King Soosh podcast. I'm your host, David Paul, along with my co-host, King Soosh. King Soosh, give it up to the people.
Hey, what's up, guys? Back in the studio, week three, break it down. Let's go.
And we are joined by a special guest. He is the commissioner, the vaunted commissioner of the Goodfellas Fantasy Football League. And he's been involved in a couple of, let's just say, controversial subjects regarding trades in our league. So welcome, Danny Boys, Daniel Paul, my brother.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me on tonight. I really appreciate it.
And what we're going to do right now is give the good old Pav a call, because he's got 10 minutes that he can spare us to get his take on what we're talking about via our fantasy football league. So, calling Pav right now.
Hello.
Hey, Pav, you're on the podcast.
Hey, how's it going?
So, what we're going to do today is we're going to recap our picks for week two, and then we're going to get into the fantasy football aspect of things, and then we're going to discuss week three. Sorry, one second. We're going to discuss week three matchups in the NFL. So, just to recap week two, Pav, congratulations, you are the week two champion by picking 11 games correctly. I finished in second once again with 10 wins. And just like in fantasy football, King Soosh finished in last with 9 wins. After 2 weeks, we were all tied up at 20 wins. So that's week two recap. We don't want to waste too much time on that, because we have to get into something that's really important right now. There was a trade in the league, Pav. This is the first you're hearing of it. So that we get your instant take. Daniel and Eternal Light, Dave Baines, were involved in a transaction today.
What transaction was it?
Well, let me tell you, Pav.
Okay.
Dave Baines traded Aaron Rodgers and Danny Amendola to Danny Boys and Mikey for Matt Schaub, Javid Best, Vincent Jackson, and Willis McGahee.
What the hell?
What is your immediate reaction to this trade, Pav?
I don't even know how to respond to it. I don't know. I don't know what the motive is.
The trade was with
Aaron Rodgers. He gave up Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah, but he got Matt Schaub, Vincent Jackson, and Javid Best, and Willis McGahee, who can spot start just in case Sean Moreno doesn't start this week.
I don't know. I don't know how to comment on that.
Well, Danny Boys, defend your trade.
I don't really think there's anything to defend. I've spoke to multiple parties, and the consensus thus far has been that I've given up too much for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm okay with that. I believe that I can go places with Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback, and I can fill in the spots that I'm losing. I mean, I'm giving up a top 5, 6, 7, 8, whatever you want to call it, wide receiver, top 15 running back, and a top 10 quarterback. Again, Willis McGahee, he's not an every week starter, but Dave starting Mark Ingram, Cadillac Williams, and Sean Green on a weekly basis, you can arguably say that Willis McGahee becomes his third running back to start at a flex spot. Vincent Jackson becomes his first receiver. Dwayne Bowes slips over to second, and Mike Williams is at third now, with Matt Schaub and Sam Bradford starting on a week-by-week basis. I mean, you look at Dave's team, he becomes competitive now. And prior to he wasn't.
Not to take anything away from you or the trade, but do you think your team like ranked number one in terms of the strength?
Well, I'm sorry, Pav, what did you say?
Isn't Danny Boy's, isn't that squad ranked, even in the rankings, like the team strength rankings, isn't it like top two or three?
No, Pav, unfortunately, you've been out of the loop. I know you were in somewhat of a coma over the last couple of days, but Danny Boy's posted the rankings, and he's, like, in seventh place.
He's in seventh place?
Yeah.
So, to continue, whatever. The trade makes Dave a better team. With Aaron Rodgers, he's had for the past few weeks. I do believe Aaron Rodgers is the best player in the trade. There's nothing I can say about that, but... with this trade, it balances out Dave's team, and it doesn't make him rely on starting Cadillac Williams. He doesn't have to start Mark Ingram. I mean, I don't even know what other guys he's starting. I don't know.
He's got Decker. We talked about Decker last week, and we told him not to play him. Unfortunately for Dave, I don't think playing Decker would have mattered when he faced the juggernaut behemoth Pav.
But Eric Decker is a player that's not established. Brandon Lloyd didn't play last week. If he did that with Brandon Lloyd, then I'd be more impressed than actually doing it without Brandon Lloyd. I think he'll be a solid player. I don't think he'll be a 8-catch, 166-yard, and a touchdown player. I don't know if he did that last week, but whatever he did.
So let's get King Sush's take on this, and before getting into Dave's starting lineup. King Sush, what's your take on this whole situation?
When I first heard of the trade... I thought it was a horrible trade. I still think it's, you know, I think it's okay. Danny Boy's just given up a lot of stuff, a lot of solid core players to Dave.
I agree with that.
But the only problem I have with the trade is, you know, we're sitting here breaking down Dave's team and how horrible his team is. You know, he had a chance to build a team in the old-fashioned way as we talked about earlier, and he didn't. You know, so. You know, at this point, he needs to do something. So, for him, it makes sense. I'm not too mad about the trade.
I'm sorry, I lost a little bit of your connection.
I just didn't think that they give up enough. So, Dave will be competitive. Danny Boys, I think he'll take a little bit of hit, but I think his team is still pretty solid. So, if both teams win. I guess we all have to worry about Dave Baines now to compete with, rather than washing him up, you know, as an easy win. So it's competitive for the whole league.
Yeah, you know what? Personally, this kind of helps me out. I think that it kind of takes Daniel. You know, he's going to rely on Steve Smith, Tim Hightower, and I don't even know who's going to play in that other flex position. Oh, I guess Owen Daniels and Rob Gronkowski, but... That's a lot of iffy moves to be relying on. You did give up too much, I think, Daniel. But I'm totally okay with this trade.
What's the word?
So let's move on and discuss Week 3 fantasy football matchups. We're going to let Danny Boys take over and basically show us or give us the matchups. And Pav, King Sush, and I are going to break it down in our own unique ways. So Danny Boys, take it over.
Okay, let's start with the other guest on this call, Pav. Pav equipped with Ray Rice, Larry Fitzgerald, and an injured Tony Romo is taking up against Conan, who is currently in third place right now, second in overall points, who is coming at Pav with Drew Brees, Calvin Johnson, Rashard Mendenhall, and the explosive Kenny Britt. What do you guys think? Is Pav going to get to 2-1? Or is Conan going to get to 2-1 and leave Pav in the dust?
Pav, what are your thoughts, man?
Well, first of all, you know, leading up to this match, you know, I take it one game at a time. I don't really like, you know, setting my opponents. What I look for week to week is, you know, the matchup that my individual players have. You know, as a team, I think we're solid, even though we have a lack in depth. From my roster, you know, week by week so far, you know, it's only the second week, but, you know, I think I've managed to, you know, raise some eyebrows with the team that I have. When I am starting, you know, individuals other than Ocho Cinco, you know, I'm very confident in what they have. That's the reason why I drafted them or even, you know, picked them up off the waiver wire. But, you know, coming to face Leroy Jenkins, I'm finding myself kind of in that mode where, you know, not only am I assessing my team, but I'm finding out that I'm assessing his matchups as well. You know, even though this is not really a focal point in terms of my, you know, biweekly, you know, process in order to get my, you know, my best squad in there, at this point, you know, he's averaging a lot more points than me. You know, he's projected to blow me out. It's really a David versus Goliath match right now in terms of our rankings. You know, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to have faith in my boys. You know, Plexco and Chad, they let me down last week and the week before. Plexco, he surprisingly had a touchdown, but yeah, I found out that he was actually in the game, and he just hadn't had the ball thrown to him, or two balls went over his head. So, you know, my take on this week and who's going to start in that position, I'm really going to have to, you know, I have to make a game decision. I think it's going to really come down to that. I can't really say more on that. I'm going to assess his team and just think, you know, I think when it comes down to it, it's going to be a game day decision.
Bob, we're going to have to cut you off for a little bit because you can go on forever.
I like doing that, okay? You want a one-word answer?
No. Go ahead, King Sush.
That was a good response, Bob. I appreciate your in-depth analysis.
That's why we went 1:15 last week and nobody wanted to listen.
I want a lecture, okay? I want to tell you in-depth analysis of each position.
Okay, King Sush, go ahead. What's your take on Konnan versus Pav?
Pav is correct. This is a David and Goliath matchup. Pav has some good pieces to compete with Konnan, but I just think Konnan's depth at a couple different places, running back, receiver, and having Drew Brees leading his attack. I just think he might be a little too much for Pav this week. I expect Pop to be competitive all season, but even if I was going against Konnan, I think I would have trouble as well. Konnan is actually doing pretty well so far with points, and he's pretty up. He's up there in his rankings as well. So in this week's matchup, sorry to say, Pop, I'm gonna have to go with Konnan, but I'm rooting for you, buddy.
Thank you.
So in this matchup, I'm gonna pick up upset special and go with Pop here. Solely for a couple reasons. You know, Pav scored 179 points last week and Plaxico gave him zero. So it's not like Pav is a little sister of a poor here where, you know, he's Mr. coming from behind, the scrappy guy who can do it. He's got some solid players. I don't know about starting Romo against Washington's D. They've been pretty solid, just giving up around 20 points a game. I might even go with Fitzpatrick against the Patriots because New England's defense gave up a lot of points to Chad Henne, and Phillip Rivers was Phillip Rivers, and he had like 40 points last week as well. So, you know, you might want to think about doing that. And in terms of Konnan's team, he's starting Knowshon Moreno, which could be an iffy situation. And news out of Titans camp today is Kenny Britt re-injured his groin, so we'll see if we see more Jared Cook and Nate Washington, but I don't know. I'm confident that Pav can pull off the upset. So let's go on with the next matchup, Daniel.
Real quick, let me just give my take. I think it wouldn't be much of an upset. I think Pav has a strong core team with Ray Rice and Frank Gore. The one thing when I see when I look at Pav's schedule, about five of his starters are going to be playing on the road. That's always tough, but Pav's been making some legitimate pickups, and if Kenny Britt doesn't play, that's a positive for Pav because Konnan will lose his production, and Pav has Nate Washington to start, who will become the number one receiver. So I'm going to take Pav this week as well. Moving on to the next matchup, in a battle of young stud versus established veteran, we have Matthew Stafford taking on Tom Brady this week. Matthew Stafford heading the number one team in our league, Smack City Pierre, who is surprising not only myself, and I'm sure he's surprising the rest of the league, taking on Gary Moss, who is a competitive 1-1 and was 3 points away from being 2-0. So what do you guys think? David, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and go with the Hulkamaniacs in this one because I'm actually kind of mad at Pierre right now. Last week, he was going to trade me Jeremy Maclin for Dexter McCluster and Mike Thomas, but all of a sudden, the guy catches 15 balls, and now I can't even offer Pierre anything without him yelling at me. I actually texted him this afternoon and said, "What's it going to take to get Jeremy Maclin?" And his response was, and let me pull it up, and I quote, "Why are you motherfuckers trying to break up my program? Can I have a dynasty? Damn." And I was like, okay, Mr. Sensitive. And he started laughing. So, Pierre, you're on my shit list. And so I'm going to go with the Hulkamaniacs, even though Gary offered me a very ridiculous trade today. There's a lot of wheeling and dealing. One thing I do got to say about this trade situation is give it a couple weeks. My guys are getting healthy, and my young running backs are taking over. So I'm going to have some running backs to trade. And I got a Hakeem Nicks I have in mind to trade. So, King Sush, what are your thoughts on Gary versus Pierre?
Well, first off, I'm willing to listen to any offers for Hakeem Nicks. That's for anybody out there. He's good, so I need some valuable pieces in return. Well, anyways, to go into this matchup, these two teams are very evenly matched, I think. I think this is probably the game of the week. They're both projected about the same amount of points. They both have a lot of talented players. Gary Moss is led by Tom Brady. The way he's throwing the ball, he can single-handedly be a main factor on why Gary wins this matchup. But I think this week, I think Pierre is going to pull it out. I think Pierre's confidence is at an all-time high. He's led by DeSean Jackson, Darren McFadden, Matthew Stafford, Roddy White. He's deep in a lot of different places. And with Gary, I see a few holes in his lineup where I think Pierre can exploit this week. So I think Pierre can pull it out, especially with some of the matchups he does have. Matthew Stafford's going against Minnesota. And just his whole team, I think he's better equipped this week to take out Gary, especially with some of the matches he has, like I mentioned. But besides that, these two teams are evenly matched. And I'm looking forward to this matchup.
And, Pav, what are your thoughts?
Well, to be honest with you, they both have elite players, both starting, and, you know, they have a lot of them. I think, you know, when it comes down to it, I think Pierre's going to get away with this one. It's going to be a close game. I know it's going to be a high-scoring game. But, you know, 1-1 versus a 2-0, and that 1-1, don't get it confused. You can lose that match, you know, by a lot. But I think it's going to come down to the wire, and I think Pierre's going to actually pull it off. He has just a little bit more players that are reliable. I know Tom Brady is always capable of, you know, putting up big numbers in his first two games, but, you know, against Buffalo, questionable, you know, Matthew Stafford is also turning heads. When it comes down to it, I think that he was just got a little bit more elite players, and, you know, he's got a defense that's playing against New Orleans, where Gary has Green Bay playing against Chicago. I think it's going to come down to, you know, even though it's a fantasy football game, I think it's
going
to come down to the defensive players in this one.
Oh.
Okay. Let me jump in before I get on to the next matchup. I'm going to take the young blood and Matthew Stafford. I was burned by Brady in week one. He scored 73 against me, but I think Pierre's team is running on all cylinders right now with McFadden, Beanie Wells, and, of course, Matthew Stafford. I'm a believer in the Lions, and with Stafford, I think you can't miss right now. He's been a consistent 40, and until he goes down, I think they're going to stay where they're at. Next matchup, let's go to the soft-scheduled Cali Crooks. So Cali Crooks has started his season against a couple of cupcakes. We had first week against...
Are you calling Pav a cupcake?
Our fellow podcast members, Pav and Kevin Lawley.
Oh, you call him Lolly a cupcake?
Okay.
So, I don't know. It was a blowout of the week that just occurred last week. It was a 75-point blowout of the week, and Pav was in disarray week one. But let's get back to this week. It's Cali Crooks, equipped with a 235-point outburst, most in the league since Lolly's 279-point outburst last year, against Eternal Light, who just made a trade that could possibly save his season, or it could be a huge risk as he gave up his best player. Guys, Lolly, do you want to start with this one?
Sure. Well, first off, I don't appreciate you attacking me in that manner. and off the air, I want an apology, but that's separate. Well, anyways, I think this matchup's gonna be it's gonna be an easy win for Kelly Crooks. As much as I don't like this guy, he is competitive. He has a good solid core around his team. Even with the additions Dave made, he will be a little more competitive than he normally is. But for this week's matchup, just some of the core players that Kelly Crooks does have: Wes Walker, Lance Moore, LeSean McCoy, Peyton Hillis, Antonio Gates. Just that alone, those five guys can beat his whole team, I believe. So, and Dave is showing us his nipples, by the way. But anyways, so Dave will be competitive a little bit here throughout the season. He will become more competitive against other players as well. He did a good trade for himself. In this matchup, I like Kelly Crooks by a big margin. So I'm going with him.
So me and Pop are going to keep this quick and to the point because we're kind of going on 20 minutes and we haven't even got to the NFL matchups yet. So I'm going to pick Kelly Crooks. I do have a concern with him at wide receiver. There was a trade that happened last week that we didn't even discuss that was possibly even more outlandish and ridiculous than this week's trade. But, you know, that's for a different show. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. I'm going to take Kelly Crooks. I like the additions that Baines Bombers made. I keep calling him Baines Bombers, but he's an eternal light. Pav, what is your take in 100 words or less?
All right. Well, I think it's just going to be Kelly Crooks this week. I really don't have any other. I don't know any analysis for eternal light. I think he's still making some moves. He does not really have I don't think he's got his roster set right now. Kelly Crooks, he's got some heavyweight hitters, and I'm
going to
go with Kelly
Crooks.
All right, thanks, Bob.
I'm going to take the Eternal Light. He has a legitimate three starter.
Of course you would.
To his lineup this week, and possibly a matchup start in Willis McGahee. You guys can laugh at it all you want, but he just got competitive, I believe. But let's go on to the next one. Now we've got some juicy matchups coming up. Let's start with the team hurts your face, hurts more than your face, and the big crybaby wise guy. So of course, hurt more than your face just lost Jamal Charles for the season and Michael Vick for possibly.
Yeah, I think
there are reports that he's going to play this week. So it's not as bad as it seems, but we'll see. Wise guy isn't doing so great either. He has the injury plague, Arian Foster, who now looks like he's in a 60-40 time slip with Ben Tate. And Miles Austin's possibly out till week six, sure. I've heard. I've also heard reports that he might play this week, but we'll see what actually happens when Sunday comes. It doesn't look too good for Miles Austin after a three touchdown performance against the Niners. But Lolly, what do you think is going to happen in this matchup?
This is also another good matchup between these two guys. I think Wise Guy he's off to a rough start just because of his injuries. He's had Chris Johnson. First off, he's had the contract holdout, which pushed him back a little bit, and now Arian Foster's been hurt, like you mentioned. But as for matchups. I can see it going either way. I would like for the Wise Guys to get at least one win under his belt, rather than going 0-3. So I'm gonna go with the Wise Guys to win this matchup against David. But Dave is gonna be competitive. We'll see how Michael Vick holds up for him. He's coming off that concussion, so he's still projected some points. So I'm thinking he's still gonna play. But let's see if Michael Vick holds up. David might have a chance. But Sonny's starting Cam Newton this week. So let's see how he does. So Cam Newton could put up big numbers for the Wise Guys, and he can pull it out. And Chris Johnson is owed a big game in this week. So I'm expecting Chris Johnson a big week. So I'm going with the Wise Guys this week.
Pav, what is your take, Pav?
When it comes to anyone again, you have two very close teams, both similar. Has some hampering injuries for both benches now. I think Cam Newton is going to outshine Michael Vick. Michael Vick a little questionable. I think he's going to be healthy and he's going to be a go on Sunday against the Giants. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to have to say that David's team is going to pull this one off only because it looks like for Sonny's team, he's got some bench players playing in those positions that he used to have stars at. I think he's got a little bit more hurt on the bench than David has, so I'm going to go with David on this one.
Yeah, I'm obviously going to pick myself because I'm that confident. I'm a former champion. I'm the defending champion. I am a winner, and I'm going to take it. I don't want to see Sonny or Swag or Wise Guys or whatever his name is today go to 0-3. But unfortunately for him, he's facing a juggernaut. Even with the injuries to Michael Vick, Stevie Johnson, Brandon Lloyd, Jamal Charles, Steven Jackson, Aaron Hernandez, the list goes on and on. Even Daniel Thomas missed week one with the hamstring. It seems like I choose these boom and bust players, the high risk, high reward players. And so far, 2 weeks in, I'm getting all the risk and less of the reward. You know, Danny Boyce's co-manager, Michael Rull, a.k.a. Green Court Band, a.k.a. Slim Thug, said, I'm 2.5 points away from being 0-2. Well, Mikey, I'm also 2.5 points away from being 2-0, so chew on that, jerk face. So let's move on. I'm actually going to take the impetus and talk about the next matchup. It's a grudge match of the century. We've got We've got a revamped lineup for Danny Boyce. It seems like anytime he loses, all of a sudden he makes 3 or 4 trades and he's back in it. It seems like a yearly thing where if he loses a couple games early, he makes these outrageous trades with one of his best friends to get some players.
Ooh-wee.
But anyway, so we have a revamped roster for Daniel, Aaron Rodgers, Mike Wallace, Andre Johnson, and Adrian Peterson are their stables. He's starting Tim Hightower. I think he's going with Gronkowski and a couple other people to start as flex. Then we have King Soosh. He's got Philip Rivers, Hakeem Nicks, and everybody else. So what's your guys' thoughts on this matchup? We're going to start with Pav since he's probably the most impartial person on this panel. Pav, what is your thoughts on King Soosh versus the Danny Boys?
I think, you know, when it comes down to it, Danny Boyce has a stronger team. King Soosh, I would love to pull for him, but in this one, I think Danny Boyce has a better team despite his record, what it says. Don't forget, it's only the second week. Molly Lightning, though, suffered a loss last week. I know it's kind of harsh watching that, but I think Danny Boyce is going to be a little bit more stronger, so I'm going to take Danny Boyce in this one.
So let's go to the 2005 fantasy football champion, King Soosh. What are your thoughts on your eventual matchup? This is going to be a swing point early in the season. One of you guys is going to be 1-2. The other one's going to be 2-1, basically propelling themselves towards the playoffs. So, King Soosh, make your claim, stake your claim on why you're going to win this matchup.
Well, I think I'm going to win this matchup because I think I'm going to win every week, and I'm going to win everything I do. My confidence is that high, and I think I'm the greatest athlete, announcer, whatever you want to call it, whoever existed, by the way. But anyways, in this matchup, I think Danny Boyce has now a solid core. He pulled off a good trade for himself. It's going to be a tough matchup for me. I still think I have a good core where I could compete with him, and I just think I can pull it out because I'm competitive like that. But he is led by a couple of strong players. There's some positions where actually I don't see any positions where he's actually struggling now. I think that Steve Smith could be a liability for him. Rob Gronkowski is going to be decent. I just think I'll pull it out. I'm led by Philip Rivers, who has a good matchup against Kansas City. I expect him to have a monster game. Hakeem Nicks is coming back from his injuries. He'll be decent. I'm actually starting AJ Green this week to see what this young man could do for me. So I'm actually excited for this week. I think this is a good test for my football team to see what we're made of. Last week, I got blown out by Kelly Crooks. My strength of schedule has been pretty tough the last 2 weeks. So I'm hoping this week I can pull it out, and I have high hopes for my men. So I'm excited for this week, like I said, and I'm going to pull it out.
In my defense, if I wasn't starting Aaron Rodgers, I'd be starting 4 top 10 receivers this week, along with Matt Schaub, Adrian Peterson, and Javid Best. Just for you podcasters out there, not to be swayed in any other position. But I personally don't mind if I go 3-11. Of course, that wouldn't be ideal for me. As long as two of those three wins are against Lolly, I'd be happy. I got one win under my belt right now. As long as I don't lose to Lolly, my season is good. So I'm stacking up this week, and if after this week my wheels fall off, I can go home and say, you know what, Lolly, I kicked your ass, and that's what I want to do this week, because that's the honest truth, because you just rubbed me the wrong way. Someone hit my music.
This guy, hold on a second. This guy is mad at me for some reason, and I do a goddamn thing to him. But it's okay. Whenever I go, I'm hated. And it's all good. I take it the way I take it. So it's all good. I seen Danny Boy's face. And he has a fire in his eyes. Like, he's going to beat my ass.
I want to beat you because you think Cedric Benson is good. That's disrespectful to have him in your number one slot against me. That is a disrespect. You better put a Mike Bradshaw up there before you have a problem.
Oh, that doesn't matter as long as I get the guy.
Oh, it matters to me. That's disrespect to me.
Oh, come on. Why don't you go train with Dave Baines a little more? Why don't you go train with Dave Baines?
You're starting four guys in the Cincinnati Bengals, San Francisco air attack that's going to happen this week in Cincinnati.
Hey, but you know what? This is my team. I don't know which team you got.
He's got Eddie and Dave Ben's team.
I stay stacked. By the way, Steve Smith, I believe it's Steve Smith.
Guys, he's stacked, but he traded four guys today.
Oh, that's why, because I'm stacked.
Okay.
And like I said, bro, next week ain't important. Last week was cool. Nothing's better than beating you, Lolly. All right,
man.
Next week better be important. You're playing me next week, boy.
I bring it.
I got Vegas next week. I got damn near vacation next week.
Oh, yeah. Next week is going to be a special Vegas podcast for all you listeners. We might be podcasting exclusively from Vegas. So, Daniel, thank you for introducing or presenting the fantasy matches for us. I'll go ahead and take the reins on the NFL matchups. If you guys don't know, what we do is we provide in-depth coverage of each and every NFL matchup. Today we're going to include a new wrinkle. We're going to give you the Vegas lines and kind of guess what the point spread and to test our knowledge of gambling and football, our two most favorite things. So let's get into it. First matchup in the morning is the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Cincinnati Bengals in Cincinnati. This is San Francisco's first home, first road contest. Currently the line I'm seeing is at 2.5 points, so people kind of like the Niners. I'm kind of trending towards the Niners. The Niners are playing really solid D. The Bengals, brought to you by rookies A.J. Green and Andy Dalton, I think are going to struggle in this one. The Niners are kind of on a mission to win the NFC West. I'm going to pick the Niners. Pav, what do you think about this San Francisco 49ers-Cincinnati Bengals matchup?
I'm going to pick the Niners on this one. Even though I don't like them, and I said I was going to vote against them every week, I think this week I'm going to go with the Niners.
And Daniel, what do you think?
I'll take the Niners. I'm not a believer in Cincinnati yet, and I like what Harbaugh's doing, and he's going to keep them competitive and in games.
And King Sush, you picked the Bengals 2 weeks in a row. Are you going to make it a third?
Yes, I am.
Wow.
I'm going to the Bengals this week. I think the core between A.J. Green and Andy Dalton's looking pretty good. I think those two guys have hooked up a few times. Cedric Benson, got in fantasy, so hopefully he does something for me. But other than that, I think Cincinnati, due to the quarterback play, they'll be better than the Niners this week.
All right, thank you guys for that. The next matchup is the Jacksonville Jaguars traveling basically up the road to Carolina, to Carolina Stadium, to take on the Panthers. It's the Jaguars versus the Panthers. Jacksonville sporting their rookie quarterback, Blaine Gabbert, who's making his first start on Sunday, taking on Cam Newton and Steve Smith and the rest of the guy group. Daniel, what's your take on the Jaguars versus Panthers?
I like what Cam Newton's doing early, and I know Steve Smith is not going to be the number one overall receiver for the season, but I do think he easily stays in the top 10 given his health. I don't believe in Blaine Gabbert at all. I think the Jaguars have been a team that has overachieved for much of the past 5 years. Even then, they've only won, I don't know, 8 games a few times. It got in the playoffs one time. I'm just not a big Jaguar fan.
Pop, what do you think?
I'm going to go with Carolina Panthers only because, you know, when I saw Cam Newton in college, I knew that when he was going to come in the NFL, he was going to be a threat despite criticism against Cam Newton. I always knew that this guy was going to be good. So I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers.
King
Sue?
He's
going to have a bad game, you know, within the next few weeks, but I'm telling you right now, he's the real deal.
And King Zeus?
I'm going to go with the Carolina Panthers as well. I think Carolina, like everyone has said, Cam Newton's a beast. Steve Smith's playing well. Hopefully this week the running game could get going. But other than that, Panthers this week, Jags are looking terrible. Panthers had a big win.
So the Panthers are a 3.5-point favorite at home, meaning the line is kind of swung. You know, I think this matchup is a fairly even matchup. The Jaguars beat the Titans in week one and got blown out by the Jets in week two. I think if the Jaguars can keep it close early, they can hold on to take this victory. You know, I was listening to a different show and they were talking about passing yards are a new stat that is basically almost overrated these days. And although Cam Newton has thrown over 400 yards each of his first two starts, they've been losses. He's turned the ball over 3 times in his red zone. You know, in the red zone, he's still a rookie. So I'm going to go in a surprising upset. I'm going to go with the Jaguars in this one. I kind of have faith in MJD, Mercedes Lewis, and hopefully Mike Thomas gets off the schneid so I can start starting him in fantasy football. The next matchup is the Detroit Lions taking on the Minnesota Vikings in Minnesota. This is the first time in 30 or 40 years, I can't remember the stat, that the Lions are favored in Minnesota. They're favored by 3.5 points. Danny boys, defend your Lions. Tell me why you're going to take them. And Danny boys went to take a dump or something. So King Sush, what's your take on the Lions versus Vikings?
In this matchup, I think the Lions are going to pull it out. There's been a good chemistry between Matt Stafford and Calvin Johnson. They're actually looking pretty good now. So the Lions in a close win against the Minnesota Vikings this week. I think Adrian Peterson will have a big game. I think he'll control most of the clock. But in this one, I got the Detroit Lions.
And Pavlotek, what do you think?
I'm going to agree with King Sousa on this one. I think it's going to be a close victory for the Lions. Minnesota Vikings, they got hammered out on the ground trying to get through that line, but that Detroit defensive line is looking pretty good, pretty darn good. I'm going to have to take Lions on this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go make it a clean sweep. I'm sure Daniel's taking the Lions. I'm taking the Lions as well. I haven't seen much from the Vikings to show me that they can hold a second-half lead. Christian Ponder.
Lions.
Yeah, we know. Christian Ponder, get warmed up because you're probably going to start next week. Donovan is showing the world that Andy Reid is one of the best coaches in the NFL. Because Andy Reid is turning all these quarterbacks into stars. Next matchup, we got the Denver Broncos traveling to Tennessee to take on the Titans. The Titans are a full touchdown favorite against the Broncos. I think that that's too many points. But in this matchup, I'll take the Titans. Let's see if they can build on their victory against the Ravens. Chris Johnson got his contract, but he also missed a significant amount of preseason time, which was already shortened. So he's gotten off to a rough start in terms of production. The Titans are 1-1, so are the Broncos. So I'll take the Titans. Pav, what is your thoughts on the Broncos versus Titans?
I'm going to go with the Broncos. I think that, you know, even though they're going to be on the road, right?
Yeah, Broncos are on the road.
Yeah, so I think, you know, they're going to be able to pull it off. I think they're going to have their defense ready, even though they're, you know, the linebacking core is, you know, kind of inexperienced. They have the injured DJ Williams, you know, for the rookie starting that also plays the defensive line, according to Daniel and his sources. I think that, you know, the Denver Broncos are going to hold it down with their defense. I think the defense is going to come out with the victory.
And King Sush?
In this matchup, are the Titans. I think the Titans, led by Hasselbeck, having Kenny Britt, and that defense behind it, I think they're better equipped to win this matchup. The Broncos, still need to find some type of identity. And all that Tim Tebow talk, I think that did mess up the team, the nucleus a little bit. So the Titans look good this week against the Broncos. I think the Titans are in an easy win.
And Daniel?
I personally don't feel strongly about either of these teams. I was shocked last week when I saw the outcome of the Titans-Ravens game. So I'll take the team that has the home field advantage this week. So I'll take the Titans. Might be close, but I think the Titans will pull it out. I'm a fan of Orton. I just think he's in a rough situation.
Thanks. And in our next matchup, we have the Miami Dolphins going on the road. Some would say the road is their home, traveling to Cleveland to take on the 1-1 Browns, who came off a victory over the Colts. It wasn't an impressive victory, but it was a victory nonetheless. Miami is, you know, on the brink. They're 0-2. They need this game. They're 1.5-point underdogs. I'm going to take the Dolphins purely because on paper they seem to have a better team. Daniel Thomas, we'll see if he can capitalize on the fact that he got a 70-30 or 80-20 split share last week. Word out of Dolphins camp is Reggie Bush was a little hurt last week in terms of physically. I don't know about mentally, maybe mentally as well. But I don't buy it. I think the Dolphins realized that Reggie Bush can't be a featured back, so they went with the rookie to see what he had. We'll see if he can build on his week 200-yard performance. I'm taking the Dolphins. King Soosh, what are your thoughts on the Dolphins traveling on the road to take on the Browns?
And this week, I think it's going to be a good game. I like the Dolphins to win this game. I think Chad Henne is playing pretty well. I think their rookie running back, like you mentioned, he had a good week last week. And I think he'll have a good game again this week. The Browns could pull it out. I think it's going to be a close game. But with the Dolphins, Brandon Marshall, Daniel Thomas, Reggie Bush, I think just those three guys, a couple other solid pieces that they do have, I think that's enough to beat the Browns. So I'm going to go with the Dolphins in a close win this week.
Pav, what do you think?
I think the Dolphins are going to outperform the Cleveland Browns in this one, even though they're going to be on the road. I totally agree with what you said, that, you know, some say that the Dolphins' home is on the road. On the road again, and the Dolphins will take this one away.
Daniel, what do you think?
I'll take the upset with Cleveland.
It's not really an upset. Like, they're favored.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, I'll go against you guys picking the Dolphins, and I'll take Cleveland. I think it'll be a close game. I'll just take Colt McCoy. Not the best fantasy quarterback, but he seems like he's going to get it done in the league. So I'll take the Browns.
Okay, in our next morning matchup, probably the featured matchup of the morning, the New York Giants are traveling over to Philadelphia to take on their evil arch rival, the Philadelphia Eagles. Michael Vick left at the Sunday night football game in week 2 with a concussion. It looked a little bit worse than that. People speculated that his neck was hurt and he could miss significant time. He participated in walk-arounds and did some light jogging and throwing this afternoon. We'll see if he practices on Friday and passes all his baseline concussion tests. He basically will swing the game either way. There is currently no line on this game. So I'm going to take the Eagles purely because I don't think the Giants are really that good. They beat the Rams, but we'll get to the Rams, but their receivers can't catch balls, and they're making Sam Bradford look really bad right now. So I'm going to take the Eagles. Pav, what's your take on the Eagles taking on the Giants in Philadelphia?
I think the Eagles are still going to be able to pull it off. Andy Reid is a great coach. Even though Michael Vick might be out, I think they'll be well prepared. I think he does a great job, not only preparing his starting quarterbacks, but any quarterback that he's going to be backing up. Eagles, great for plan B and C. So I think I'm going to take the Eagles in this one.
And Daniel, what do you think?
I'll take the Eagles. I think the Giants look sloppy on Monday night. They did run the ball better, which is the way you're going to beat the Eagles if you are going to beat them. But Eli doesn't look comfortable with his new receiving core yet. So, pick the Eagles.
And King Soosh?
I'm going with the Giants in this one. I think the Giants. I think Eli will have a big game. I think this is a bigger stage for him against the Rams. I don't think he played up until his capabilities. I think the bigger game, I think Eli plays a little better. So I think in this matchup, I like the Giants. I think they're going to have a good running game going this week. And I think the passing game will be decent. The Eagles will give them problems. They're so fast on the offensive side. With LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Maclin, and DeSean Jackson. Just has speed, speed kill. So I think the Giants will pull it out in this one. So I'll go to the Giants.
All right. In the second featured matchup in the morning, I kind of glanced over this and chose the Giants versus the Eagles in a grudge match, division rivals. But probably one of the most entertaining games on the schedule is the Houston Texans traveling to New Orleans to take on the Saints in a matchup of basically two top 10 teams right now. Houston sporting a 2-0 record, taking on the 1-1 Saints who came off demolishing the Chicago Bears. Daniel, we'll let you start on this one. We know how precious Houston is in your heart. So what's your take on the Texans versus Saints?
I know you guys know where I'm going with this one. Houston's defense looks like it really picked it up this year. I've always been a fan of the offense. Their running game is solid with Foster and Tate splitting carries behind the zone blocking scheme. They're going to be able to run on the Saints. And I think Matt Schaub will do an efficient job, get his couple touchdowns, and not make the mistake that's going to lose his team the game. In the past, the defense has been letting them down, but their defense looks real strong right now. I'll take the Texans. Soosh?
Well, I think this can be a good game. The Saints are actually missing Marcus Colston this week in the next couple of weeks, so they're going to have some problems at that position. But I like the Saints this week. I think the Saints are going to pull it out. I think Drew Brees is going to have a big, big game. He's been playing very well last couple games. Just on Drew Brees, I don't see Drew Brees losing this game to Houston. So I'm going to go with the Saints in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints as well. The Saints are a four-point favorite. I might take those 4 points. I think the Saints are going to win 27-21, something around there. It might even – actually, I take that back. I think the Saints are going to win about 35-28. It's going to be a high-scoring game. If whoever you have on each team, I would start them. The Texans haven't really been challenged in terms of offensive. Offensively, they gave up 100 yards to Daniel Thomas in week one, but everybody knows about Chad Henne's inefficient red zone statistics. So I'm going to take the Saints. Pav, what is your take on the Saints taking on the Texans?
Well, this is going to be a good game, but before I get to that, I just want to say that I got this chicken and salada from Trader Joe's for Peter United. It's really, really good, you guys. My pick for this game...
Trader Joe's calling me. We'll get a promotion going.
Yeah, the Saints. I got the Saints on this one. It's going to be the Superdome. And you know, the Texans are looking really good right now. I'm going to say it's going to come down to the two defenses. Both have outstanding offenses, but when it comes down to it, I think the Saints are going to shut them down.
All right, I didn't really hear what you said there, but thanks, Pop. In the last matchup of the morning, it's also a AFC East grudge match. The New England Patriots are taking their explosive offense on the road to Buffalo to take on Ryan Fitzpatrick, Stevie Johnson, and the new look Buffalo Bills. The Bills haven't beat the Patriots since about 2002. The Patriots are overwhelming favorites in this one. They're 9-point favorites. I'm going to go with the upset, and I'm going to take the Buffalo Bills in a shocker. I think missing Aaron Hernandez with the sprained MCL is going to confuse Tom Brady. Should he throw it more to Gronkowski? Should he get Chad Ochocinco-Moore involved? Will I throw it to Deion Branch more? I'm going to take the Bills. It seems like the kid from Harvard, Fitzpatrick, knows what he's doing. And I would start him if I had him in any fantasy league, Pop. So, Pop, what do you think?
Well, watching my chicken and salada from Trader Joe's down with the Pepsi, I'm going to have to say New England takes
this. You're so corporate,
and, Pop. And even though the Bills, you know, are 2-0 right now, New England Patriots, they're a different kind of machine. Like Chad Ochocinco said, you know, he was astounded. He was just amazed by what he saw. I'm going to go with the New England Patriots, and I'm going to leave it at that.
King Soosh, what are your thoughts?
I think the Patriots win this game going away big. I think Tom Brady's going to have a field day out there. I do like Fitzpatrick. I do like Stevie Johnson. Buffalo is looking good. But the Pats, to me, just seem like they're a whole different level this year. I think they're going to win this huge. I think Tom Brady's going to light it up. They have so many strong players at different positions. And I think even losing Aaron Hernandez in this game, I think they still have enough firepower to beat the Buffalo Bills. So I'd like the Pats in this win.
Daniel?
I think the Bills will fight hard, but I think the Patriots is just on another tier of teams right now. The Bills may make it close. When I say close, within one or two touchdowns in the fourth quarter. But I see the Patriots taking this one.
So you guys all have the Patriots and winning by more than 9 points?
Yeah,
I have the Patriots. Yeah, me.
Wow.
I think it's going to be a blowout.
Okay.
I'll take 10 to 14.
I was thinking two touchdowns as well, but two touchdowns
on win by. All right, there you have it, folks. If you're debating on whether 9 points is too much on the road, my panel of guests and co-hosts don't think so. So let's move on to the next matchup. We have the Kansas City Chiefs with just taking on or traveling lightly. They're missing two of their top players, Jamaal Charles. Get well soon. It's going to be a difficult year without you, Jamaal. I'm going to miss you so much. He's and Eric Berry, who's not as important to me as Jamaal Charles is. They're going to San Diego to take on the Chargers. The Chargers seem to have all their offensive weapons basically healthy and ready to go. Word out on the street is Malcolm Floyd is a little injured. The Chargers are a 16-point favorite at home, and I would take the Chargers going away. I think this is going to be a 35-7 game. I'm going with the Chargers. Daniel, what do you think?
Take the Chargers. It won't be close. Kansas City just doesn't look competitive right now.
Thanks, Daniel. King Soosh?
This one's easy. I think we can all agree the Chargers are going to win. Let's not forget they're led by the all-time great Phillip Rivers.
You gotta do it when it counts, man. Gotta do it when it counts.
Yeah, exactly. So this is year. Well, anyway, so I like the Chargers in this one. The Chiefs are decimated with injuries. Even if they had Jamaal Charles, Eric Berry, their core, I still don't think they're a good team. But this one is easy. I think we can all agree. I like the Chargers. I think they'll win by at least 20. I think they'll win by three touchdowns.
And Pav, what do you think?
This is going to be a last night victory for the San Diego Chargers. They're going to take this one, and not only that, they're going to leave a mark. And who knows, I think the Kansas City Chiefs might actually lose another player.
Wow. Well, thanks for the mean spiritedness, Pav. We appreciate it.
Next
matchup, the Baltimore Ravens are traveling to St. Louis, Missouri to take on the St. Louis Rams. The Rams sporting an 0-2 record. Baltimore is going to look to avenge their loss to the Tennessee Titans last week. Believe it or not, if Baltimore loses this game, the Steelers will be ahead of them after week one's demolition of them. I'm going to take the Ravens, and sorry, Pav's phone is going nuts. I'm going to take the Ravens this one. King Soosh, what are your thoughts?
this week's matchup against the Ravens and St. Louis Rams, I like the Ravens to win this one. Ravens have a lot of talent, and especially coming in with the loss they had last week, a tough loss, and St. Louis having the injuries that they do have. The talent doesn't really equal out here. So I like the Ravens in a big win. The Ravens have a lot of talent, led by Ray Rice. I think he's having a big game. So this one's easy for me. I'm with the Ravens.
And Daniel?
I think the Ravens are going to play like the Steelers played last week after their loss. I'd go as far as to say the Ravens' loss to the Titans is worse than the beating the Ravens gave the Steelers week one. I'm going to take the Ravens because I don't know how John Harbaugh will allow the Ravens to lose two straight weeks to the Titans and to the
Rams.
To the Rams.
All right. And so the next matchup is going to be a grinded out, tough-nosed matchup. The New York Jets are traveling across the country to take on the Oakland Raiders. The Raiders will win, and that's that. I'm going to take the Raiders in this one. King Sush, what are your thoughts on the Jets versus Raiders?
I think this will be a close game. I think both running teams. I think they're both going to run well in this game. I expect Darren McFadden to have a big game here. I have to go with the Jets to win this game, though. I think the Jets still have a little more solid pieces. Raiders are close. I think the Jets will win in a close game.
And Daniel,
I think the Raiders are for real this year. What for real means is roughly a 9-10 win team, and that might be enough in the AFC West to get them in. I like Hugh Jackson. I think he's got the Raiders' heads on straight. He's getting the most out of their players. Their defense is playing okay. Their secondary is not as strong, obviously, without Nnamdi, but their defensive line looks pretty good out there. Jason Campbell is not going to win you games in this league, but if he can stay away from throwing interceptions and fumbling, they can stay in the game and be competitive. I just don't think the Jets are clicking yet, and Dallas showed that you can score on the Jets. Not to say that the Raiders are Dallas, but they're not the Niners either. So I'm going to take the Raiders in this one.
Look at the Niner fan taking the Raiders. So next matchup is the Atlanta Falcons taking their talents to South Beach or close to South Beach and taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It's a matchup of division rivals. I'm going to say that the Falcons build on their victory against the Eagles and take this one. They were 13-3 last year. Let's not forget that. I'm going to take the Falcons in this one. What do you guys think?
I'll take the Falcons as well. The Bucs have not looked good this year. They stole a win away from the Vikings late last week. I give all credit to Josh Freeman. It doesn't seem like his team is showing up as they did last year when they were competitive, and I believe finished at 8-8 or 9-7. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong.
9-7.
I'm gonna take the road team here.
And King Sush?
I'm going to go with the Falcons to win this game as well. Falcons look like they got their stuff together. They're led by Michael Turner. I think he's had a big game against Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is struggling right now. Even though they have Josh Freeman, I think if he plays a good game, I think they can pull it out. Very low chance, though. But I think just the talent that the Falcons have, I think they're clicking the right time, like I mentioned. So this one's easy for me. I'm going to go with the Falcons.
And so Pav was disconnected, so we wish Pav the rest of the luck, best of luck, I mean, in his fantasy matchup. So we'll get going with the next matchup, and that is the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks, and probably the worst matchup of the day. Seattle is just a terrible team, and Arizona is not too far behind. I'm going to take the Cardinals. Even though they're playing in Seattle, in Seattle's home opener, I just don't have any confidence in the Seahawks until they show me something. King Sush, what are your thoughts on this game?
I like the Cardinals to win this game. I think the Seahawks, led by Tavares Jackson, are a joke. I think it's about time for the Cardinals to start getting things going with Kevin Cobb, Larry Fitzgerald. I think... with two games under their belt, I think they're going to have a decent season this year. But in this one, I like the Cardinals. And Tavares Jackson's horrible, so this one's easy for me.
Daniel, you're taking the Cardinals as well?
I'm going to agree with King Sush. The Seahawks just look putrid thus far.
And another divisional rival, game, the Green Bay Packers, the defending Super Bowl champions, take their 2-0 record to Chicago to take on the Bears. The Packers are actually favored in this game by 3.5 points. I'm going to go with the Packers here. I think they're solid in just about every position. And until Chicago can shore up that offensive line or figure out a way to run the ball or just get Jay Cutler away from harm's way, I think the Packers are going to harass Jay Cutler in this game, and I think it's going to be more of the same in terms of Jay Cutler getting sacked. I'm going to take the Packers. Daniel, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to take the Packers as well. I think the Bears are going to play tough. They always play tough against the Packers. They were close last year in the NFC Championship game. I just think the Packers are just too offensively gifted to be losing this game. And I think the only way they lose this game is if they don't come in focused.
Or Aaron Rodgers gets hurt.
Or in that case, the Bears could take the game. But I'm going to stick with the Packers.
King Zush?
This one's easy. I'll make it a clean sweep. I'm going to go ahead and go with the Packers. I think the Packers, like you guys mentioned, have a lot of talent on the offense side. That's obvious. But the flaw that the Chicago Bears do have, their offensive line, is a strength of the Packers where they got a good pass rush. So the Chicago could be competitive in this game. I like the Packers in a big win. So no, this one's easy for me. I got to go with the Packers.
All right, moving on to the Sunday night contest. This is probably the first Sunday night contest that no one is looking forward to. It looked good on paper when they made this matchup, but the Steelers are traveling to Indianapolis to take on the Colts, who are without their Hall of Fame quarterback once again, and he's probably going to miss the year, but I'll keep mentioning it. He's Peyton Manning, and he won't be there. And since he won't be there, the Colts will lose, and the Colts will go down big. King Sush, what are your thoughts?
In this matchup, I like the Steelers to win this one. Colts are still missing Peyton Manning. He's out. So without Peyton Manning, they don't stand a chance. I think we covered that the last podcast, that Peyton Manning is pretty much all they got to lead that team. So Steelers, this one big. They have a good running game. They have a good passing game. The Colts don't stand a chance. I like the Steelers by at least 14 points.
And Daniel?
I as much as I want to take the Colts, I unfortunately have to take the Steelers. Sad year for the Colts, especially being one of Peyton Manning's biggest fans. I feel bad for the Colts, but again, he is their franchise, and without him, they can't win. They can't be competitive against the Super Bowl caliber team, such as the Steelers.
And in our Monday night matchup, this is the first time in a long time that the Monday night matchup is more enticing than the Sunday night matchup. The Washington Redskins, the division leaders in the NFC East, are traveling to Big D, to Cowboy Stadium, to take on the glitz and glamour, to take on Tony Romo, who is questionable, I believe. Tony Romo, Jason Witten, possibly no Miles Austin, Dez Bryant. It's questionable. They got a lot of injuries in Dallas, and for that reason alone, I'm going to take the Washington Redskins to stay on their hot winning streak. I have faith in Rex Grossman. I have faith in Santana Moss, and I have faith in the Redskins. I'm taking the Redskins. King Sush, what are your thoughts?
I think the Cowboys will pull it out. I think the Cowboys, even with the injuries, I think they'll still be competitive in this game. I do like Washington. I think they did make some good pickups offseason. They're going to be competitive in this game. This team, what the injuries Cowboys do have, the matchups are pretty even, I still believe. But I like the Cowboys in a close win, probably by a field goal or less.
And Daniel, last but not least.
I'm going to take the Redskins. I'm impressed. Their defense is playing well. And let's face it, the Cowboys haven't proved they can win on a consistent basis with or without Tony Romo, in or outside of Dallas. I think the Redskins are going to be playing hard. And Mike Shanahan has, got Haynesworth out. He got McNabb out. And you can tell by results, they're playing close games. So I'm going to take the Redskins in this one in the Shocker Special.
All right, so just to recap, we all, in terms of consensus, like the Niners, the Panthers, the Lions, the Titans, the Dolphins, the Eagles. We like the Saints. We like the Patriots. We like the Chargers, the Ravens, the Raiders, the Falcons, the Cardinals, the Packers, the Steelers, and the Washington Redskins. You can take those to the bank. If you're counting your paycheck and you want to double it, take it to Vegas and bet your all your money on a 16-team parlay, it's for sure going to win. Although we've never even gotten close to 15-1 or 16-0 in the last 2 weeks. All of this advice is purely for entertainment purposes, and we only joke when we say to go and spend your hard-earned money in Vegas. Only do it if you got it. And with that, I'm signing off. I'd like to thank my special guest, Daniel, the commissioner. I'd also like to thank Pav, who got disconnected, and he's enjoying his Trader Joe's burrito. To my co-host, King Sush, how's that nose, man?
It's healing. I think I'll be back out to Iron Horse to continue my dominance. But it's getting there, so I'm just hoping next couple of weeks I'll get out there.
King Sush lives in his own world. Dominance is a relative term to him, I guess. So with that, we're signing off. Peace.
Good night.